So here we are. We're talking about Galatians. If you're just kind of jumping in with us, we've been talking about Galatians for, this is our fifth week now. And we're just kind of going through chapter by chapter. And we're calling this series Swerve. And the reason why is because that's really what was going on and what Paul was addressing. You know, Paul had done all this work to start these churches and really been ministering to these folks and trying to teach them about the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And he kind of got things going, and then he would go on to the next town and start another church and be reaching out to people there. Well, turns out there were these folks that were like a few days behind Paul and Barnabas, who was kind of his partner in ministry. And they're like, yeah, Jesus is cool, but there's like this other stuff they have to do too. They're talking about the Old Testament law, saying that, yeah, you need to follow Jesus, but this law, like, you also have to do these certain things, and specifically around stuff that they were supposed to be eating or not eating, and circumcision, which was kind of a big deal back then. That was like an identity marker for people in the community of God. And so these people had come in, and they were just confusing the folks in these churches. And Paul, he is trying to just redirect them back to the truth of the gospel. So that's kind of what we're talking about as we're talking about swerve in Galatians. So let's pray, and then we'll keep on trucking. Father, we just thank you for this evening, that we can get together and talk about what freedom in Christ looks like and how love is kind of a big deal in that. I pray, Lord, that as we go through this, as we consider your word, Holy Spirit, as we consider your work in our lives, in our hearts, I ask that you would just minister to us, that you would teach us more about you and help us to have a better understanding of who you are and how much you're just crazy about us. We love you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. So Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Today we're going to be taking a closer look at a couple words that, in my opinion, I think we can sometimes read them and just keep moving without really taking the time to really consider maybe the deeper meaning that is there. And these two words are freedom and love. And they're kind of two big themes here in Galatians 5, really in Galatians in general, really in the gospel in general, but especially here in Galatians 5. And so you'll see we got freedom over here, and we're going to talk about this here in a moment, and we got love over here, which love looks lonely, so we're going to hook up love. I don't know what. Anyway, we're gonna ride over there here in a little bit. It's going to be fun. So I think in general, we as a culture, we have some base kind of definitions for these words or ways that we kind of understand what they mean. And that's fine. But we wanted to kind of do a little experiment and to see what it was that people thought about this word, especially the freedom. And so we did this experiment on campus where we went and we set this board up. It was empty. All it had at the top was, "What does freedom mean to you?" And then one or two of us on staff, we were kind of sitting in chairs sort of kind of to the side and behind it a little bit. We didn't go out and say, "Hey, come on over, write on our board." We wanted it to be where people just kind of felt the freedom to just walk up to it and write what they wanted to. And this is nice, fancy chalkboard paint. Some chalk. It's just kind of fun. But we did this experiment, and we wanted to see what people had to say about freedom. And so there was a wide range of answers, which was totally expected. If y'all can't see it, just I'll do a little dance. So it'd be good. So some of the words are opportunity, power, choice, no judgment, YOLO, which if you don't know what that means, it's you only live once. Somebody just walked up, they were murmuring America, and they just wrote it and walked away. And so it says it right there. Doing what I want, when I want, that's in the bottom left corner. Express yourself. Up here you see no 1984. This is not just like it was a bad year for somebody, but it actually ties into this. This is a novel. 1984 was a novel that was written talking about, you know, not being spied on by the NSA 24/7. So it's two different people that wrote this. So those are connected. Freedom of speech, no boundaries, not only to have the ability to do what I want, but to be supported in that. eating cake at every meal. Elena, I will call you out because that was awesome. Being happy, Braveheart over here, tiny little words. Of course, you have my favorite. I think the one that was like the funniest for me, I saw this guy come up in fatigues, and I didn't see what he wrote until he walked away. I was like, I gotta see what he wrote. And he's, you know, so what does freedom mean to you? I don't know. I'm a freshman in the core. And so the guy just, he's like, who knows? What, can you, yeah? It's like, who knows? You know, he has no clue what that is. And he shouldn't either, apparently. So, okay. And some of the other, there were some answers that were a little bit different than some of these. Like responsibility. Freedom means responsibility. Grace. Living in the fullness of who I was created to be. Or sacrificing your life so that others may have it. You know, when you ask a blanket question like this, what does freedom mean to you? You know, we might have a lot of different answers that come to our mind, and we write it down. And that's kind of what we think about specifically when we think about the word freedom. But I think that when we kind of read through this, there's a lot of them that we could look at, you know, with maybe a little bit of explanation. Maybe we had one thing in mind, like no judgment. But if somebody kind of pointed to choice, like this was your answer, but somebody pointed to choice and said, is this freedom too? You could be like, oh, sure. Yeah, that could be part of freedom as well. And so we can kind of have a little bit of understanding that, yeah, a bunch of this stuff, maybe even all of it at some point with some explanation could mean that to some degree. But when Paul talks about freedom, specifically in Scripture, especially here in Galatians 5, he has a particular kind of idea or definition in mind. There's something very specific that he's wanting to communicate about the gospel. And so, naturally, that's what we want to talk about. Okay, so this is kind of how we see freedom. Let's look at what Paul was talking about and then see how does this translate into our lives today. You'll see that a lot of it will touch into a lot of what's on the board. This is good, but this is just kind of a fun experiment for us to do. But to get into this understanding, remember, we have to kind of go back a little bit and think about the context. You know, one of the things that we've been stressing with this series is that when you're reading through Scripture, when we're studying it on an individual basis, you know, we need to understand a little bit more about what was the context of the time that this letter was written and the folks that it was written to. What did that mean for them so that we can really understand what God is trying to communicate to us today through His Word? Because our definitions for things like freedom and love are good for here today. But it might be a little bit different considering a bigger picture from cross-cultural, from what God is wanting to get at. And so remember, you know, a big part of Jewish culture back then was the Torah or the law. And when I say it was a kind of a big part of their culture, I mean like it was in every, it touched every aspect of their life. Like everything that they did was somehow touched on by the law, or is regulated by the law. The purpose of the law was to show them how to live a godly life. It wasn't meant to just be some kind of list of do this, don't do this. But it was meant to show them, again, how to live a godly life or how to be holy. So if we, you know, I think it's good for us sometimes with stuff like this to look at kind of the extreme ends of things so that we can see maybe where in the middle is it that God is wanting us to kind of land. Maybe not exactly in the middle, but somewhere. And so on one end of this pendulum, you can see that there's this idea of legalism. And when I say legalism, you know, I think a good kind of understanding for this in the context that we're in is that it is, you know, that there is this full obedience to this law, to this code, in order to be able to receive salvation. That was kind of the understanding, that it was what was, you know, it had to be followed to receive salvation. And Jesus in his ministry, you know, he talked with people a lot about this. Like you see him in conversations and kind of debates and some arguments with people and about legalism, about, you know, trying to help people that it's not about that, but it's about the heart. It's really about what God is, what's behind this law that is really what's more important. But he addressed it all the time. If you remember, when we talked about Galatians chapter 2, I had a word of the day. Does anybody remember that word? It's big. Justification. That's right. Do you remember what justification means? Does anybody here remember what to justify. There you go. Okay, this works. Okay, but remember, okay, so justification, it is, it's like a legal term. It is a legal declaration of God addressing our being in right standing with him. And see, a shift was being made when Jesus came on. It used to be that the law was what made somebody justified before God, being in like right relationship with him. Jesus comes along, and all of a sudden, it is not following the law that brings justification before God, but it is now faith in Christ that brings justification before God. And so now the pendulum starts to swing the other way, and Paul is having to address something different. And there's a big word that another big word I'm going to introduce. This is a fun one. Is up there? Antinomianism. Does anybody know what that means?
No.
What did you say? Against something. That's right. Nomos means law. And so it means against the law. The kind of the far extreme on the opposite side of legalism was that because of justification now being there because of our faith in Christ, we don't have to obey this moral law, and so we can kind of live our lives as we see fit. Fancy words for I do what I want. Really, that's what it comes down to. And so there was this problem now that Paul's having to address. Okay, so we had people that were like total extremists with the law, and now they got people thinking like, oh, I can just do whatever the mess I want, and I ain't got an answer to nobody because I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. You know, like that was kind of this mentality that he was having to work with or to kind of hash out a little bit with some people. And that was some of the perspective that was there. So kind of coming back to today, I don't know that we're all that dissimilar. And by that, I mean, I think we're similar to some of that perspective. I think that it can be here in our lives today, and you see it on the board. Doing what I want, when I want. I mean, there it is right there. There's all kinds, I mean, you know, if you kind of read through, I'm not going to go through and just talk about everyone and how it could apply to that, but there's a lot, this is a perspective that we have to, that we see in our age today. Here in Galatians, again, you know, Paul is addressing this perspective in a couple of ways, and I think that what he's describing applies to us as well today. Freedom in our lives as Christians is, I don't think that it is the way that culture necessarily looks at the idea of freedom. Freedom isn't that our lives are our very own and that we can do whatever we want when we want or do whatever kind of feels right at the time. It is more, freedom for us as Christians is more about realizing that as believers in Christ, it is like having the life of Christ in us. There is something new that changes inside of us. If you remember, when we talked about Galatians 2, I'm pretty sure it was in 2, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's kind of what we're getting at, is that he has taken this old self that was him. I mean, you can go and read in Acts, and you can read about Saul before he kind of came to know Christ, and then he was Paul. He was a nasty dude. He did some really bad things. That was his old self. When he allowed Christ to come into his life, he changed. And we're going to talk about how that happens a little bit here, because that, you know, sometimes that's easier said than done, I think. We're like, oh, but now I'm a Christian, but sometimes life still sucks, or I still struggle with stuff. What's up with that? We're going to talk about that a little bit, so just so you know. But that's kind of what Paul is getting at. And I like here in chapter 5, he talks about how freedom is a calling for us. Each one of us here is called to be able to experience freedom in Christ. And it is to be something that we, it is available to all of us. So let's kind of shift gears a little bit, and we'll talk about love and how that applies to all this. If you have a Bible, could you open it? If you have a Bible app, could you pull that up? The reason why, one, I mean, we are in church, so I think it's a good idea. But two, it's good, I think, to have as much as you can have in front of us, because, you know, we'll have, like, bigger sections up here, but I think it's good to be able to kind of go up and go back and look at different things. So, but this is 5 verses 13. Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So if we kind of scroll up in chapter 5, or look up, as it were, in chapter 5, you'll realize that Paul has a lot to say about love. This is verses 5 and 6 here in chapter 5. It says, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." Remember, you know, that's kind of what these folks were preaching, was that, like, this is an essential part of your salvation. Paul's like, no, this isn't what matters. He says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And as I've been reading through this the last several weeks, there's a commercial that comes to my mind, and I want to show it to you. So it heads up, it did not work in the morning.
Here's your hot red.
Wait for it. You might have to pull it up. Wait. There it is. I think music's playing on the business. We gotta love Pandora. You guys, this is seamless. Look at that. You want to go all the way back to the beginning? Thank you. I love you,
Rob. Here's your hot and ready pizza.
No calling. No waiting. There's no rules!
Let's just serve back on.
There's one rule!
Pick up a large hot and ready pepperoni pizza for $5.
Okay,
only
good.
At Little Caesars.
So I love that commercial. You know, this guy has this expectation that you got to call, you got to wait, there's all this stuff to get a pizza. And he just walks up, and somebody's like, "Here you go." And they're like, "Oh my gosh, there's no rules." And then it's kind of this idea of do what I want when I want. And then somebody's like, "Hold up, no, there is one rule. You got to keep your shirt on." And I think that's kind of like what Paul's getting at. This, like I said, this kept coming to my mind. Maybe it's all analogies break down at some point, so we'll just leave it at that. But love is a very important thing when it comes to the gospel, and a very important thing when it comes to us having a good understanding of the law. The law was established simply because God loves us, and he wants us to be in right relationship with him. And so he had put these things in place. But it was to point towards Jesus. And so, you know, Paul talks about love a lot. If you've been to a wedding at any point, there's a good chance you might have heard 1 Corinthians 13. Talks about that a lot. Romans 8 is another good place. This is in verses 8 and 10. You can write these down if you want. You don't have to. But Romans 8, verses 10, or 8 through 10, actually talks about this very specifically, about how love is the fulfillment of the law, which is what we're getting at here tonight. And then here in Galatians 5. So love, like I said, it is a huge deal in the gospel. But what is it? You know, when I think about love, like, there's certain kind of emotions or feelings that kind of come along with it. Like, I love you. You know, there's like this gushy kind of stuff, you know. But I think it's more than that. And so, we're going to continue our little exercise. So what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. That's right. Okay, that's good. I heard that this morning. So, okay, so just kind of, you know, one, two words. No more than three. Kind of throw them out here. Be patient with me. And don't, okay, cannot make fun of my handwriting, my punctuation, my grammar, my spelling, all that. So, okay, go for it. Love is patient. Okay. You got to go through the list? Kind. Not any. I'll do it. All right, what else? Let's skip 1 Corinthians 13 for now. It's good. I love it. Let's get outside of that box. What else? Commitment. Oh. More than a feeling. Do you like that? What else? Four. Ooh. Sorry, was that weird? I go, ooh. What else? Come on. Unconditional. What else? Considerate. What else? Serving. Who? Okay. choice. That's good. What else? Forgiving? Okay. That's good. All right. We'll just stop there because it's running out a bit. Good. So, yeah. So, these are some good ways to describe love. Yeah, that's good. I feel like Curtis stole my thunder a little bit, but that's okay. You know, when I think about love, it is more than a feeling. It is a commitment. I have that written down, word for word. Right. It's up there, you guys. It's up there. So, okay. When I think about love, that's how I look at it. Like, love is a commitment. So I want to use my marriage as an example. Amy and I, so if you've ever been around us, you will know that, like, we might pick at each other, we might argue on occasion, but we really love each other. Like, we really do. Like, we're crazy about each other. We cannot imagine our lives without each other. There have been times now where we are so angry with each other that we can't even imagine, like, we don't even want to be in the same room. Like, we're just like, just, I love you, just go away. Just be away from me now. Or we'll just get up and walk out the room because we're like, I can't be around you right now. And so you don't have to make the effort. I'll do it. You just have these times in a relationship where it's hard to be around each other because of something that's probably dumb. Arguments happen. If we were to base the longevity of our marriage based on how we felt all the time, there's a good chance we wouldn't be together right now. We are committed to each other. And we really believe that marriage and commitment go hand in hand. On May 20th, 2006, when we made our vows and we said them, we made a covenant before God and before our friends and our family to each other that we're going to stick with each other through thick and thin. It was this commitment. It was a covenant. And I think that, you know, marriage is one of those kind of places these days where it's one of the only places right now in our time where we use this covenant language. When we think about what a covenant is, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Paul talks about it a lot in Galatians. You know, covenant is like one of God's bread and butter. Like, it is butter. It is. It might seem like a foreign language to us, but it is his native tongue. Like, it is his main thing. So this is kind of what Paul was working through, was this idea of how we have this freedom in Christ, yet we have to exercise our faith a little bit. And we have to allow our commitment to Christ to kind of help us to move forward so that we can understand what it is that God says about us. How does he identify with us? And how can we, you know, live this life that he has called us out to be? How can we live in the freedom that he calls us out to be? Remember, you know, again, that the purpose of the law was to show us how to live a godly life. And even remembering that it points towards Jesus, we have to remember the root of the law. And again, it's not this, do this, don't do this. The law was based around God's care for us and that he wants us to be in this intimate relationship with him. Jesus was once asked, he was trying to get, like, people were trying to trap him a little bit in his conversations. They were like, oh, what's the greatest commandment? This is in Matthew 22. Jesus answered, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And I like that he talks about this, that, you know, we're supposed to love God and love people. I think we've probably heard this before. And that everything else in the law points us right back to that. And so it is important. It is that, There's no rules. No, there is one rule, you know, is that we are supposed to love each other. And that pours into everything. And this is important for us to remember as we shift into what we're talking about next. And what we're talking about next is works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. This is kind of like the when people think about Galatians 5, this is kind of what they think about a lot, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, and that's good, and that's fine. I think it's really good for us to slow down a little bit and talk about what is some of this language that Paul is using here. When Paul says that our faith is to be expressed in love, he's saying that the growth or the movement that happens in our lives needs to come from the inside, like it needs to stir on the inside and then, you know, kind of manifest itself on the outside. Something needs to stir within us. Paul describes this battle, or kind of this struggle that happens to each and every one of us. And, you know, as we read through Galatians 5, I think a lot of us can relate to at least some point of this. He says, in verse 16, he starts it off with, "So I say." And remember that this comes right after the passage where Paul tells us in verse 13 that, you know, we are called to be free, and that freedom is used, is meant to be used to love the people around us. And so he says, "So I say, in light of love and freedom, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Have you ever, this is a genuine question, have you ever had one of those moments where, like, you just, like, there's like a struggle kind of going on inside? I know I was just talking about, like, you ate a bad burrito, but, like, you're having, like, this internal conflict, and I just picture this burrito, like, hitting your stomach, you know, but, okay, but, like, you know, we have, like, these internal struggles, and, you know, it's those times where maybe you feel like you should be doing one thing, or you want to do one thing, but you know maybe that you should be doing another thing, or maybe even like you're doing what you know is right, but there's still this part of you that's like, but I really don't want to. You know, it kind of goes both ways. I think that those are moments where it's like our sinful nature, the flesh, that's kind of what Paul's talking about when he says flesh, is in conflict with the Holy Spirit. I truly believe, I am a firm believer that the Holy Spirit plays a huge role in our lives, whether we realize it or not. You know, whenever we, is anybody, okay, knowing that we're getting ready to talk about the Holy Spirit, I wonder, like, does anybody, like, oh gosh, I have no idea what we're getting ready to talk about, I just understand. For me, I know that it has taken me a long time to get even comfortable being able to say, okay, well, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Because it seems like this strange part of God. My hope by tonight is that we just have a little, like, it doesn't feel so strange, but it's like, oh, okay, this is just a part of how God wants to work in my life, and this is just a part of who he is. So that's kind of my hope as we kind of walk through these next verses. So Paul goes on, and he, as he's describing the struggle some more, he talks about what acts of the flesh look like. He says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." And he says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And this is intense. Like, when I read through this, I'm like, wow, Paul just got real. You know, like, he's just describing all this stuff, kind of laying it out. He's like, these are the things that are not in line with what the Spirit wants to lead us through. But I love the fact that he goes right in and he's talking about what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so we're going to just kind of push through here. This is verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance," or patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." So I like that. He's like saying, like, when you go back and you read through the law, you're not going to find anything that says, don't be patient. You know, it's like, that's not going to be there. He said, so these are good things. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Paul is using this idea of kind of putting to death this old self. Like, this is something that we need to do. Like, we need to work at putting to death this old self and start being more attentive to the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is, how the Spirit is wanting to guide us as we walk through our lives. And I like that phrase, let us keep in step with the Spirit, because that helps us to realize that it is a process. I like that, Paul's wording here, that he is comparing acts of the flesh, something that we can do, when we're like left to our own devices. He's comparing that to this fruit of the Spirit. When Paul uses that phrase, fruit of the Spirit, he's identifying that when we are keeping in step with the Spirit, that these things are being produced in us. Let's step back a little bit. Have you ever wondered why the produce section in the grocery store is called the produce section? I don't remember when this hit me, but when it hit me, I was like, I get it. It's because somewhere, at some point, there was a plant that produced something that you're going to eat. It is fruit. Something bore fruit, and that's what you're going to eat. That was like a big light bulb for me. Not like yesterday, but like it was. And it's a big deal. So we need to understand that, like, what the Spirit does is that it produces this thing in us. And what we have to do is just keep in step with the way that the Spirit is guiding us. It's really not as hard as I think that sometimes we can imagine it to be. So we need to allow for God to move on the inside. Like, there has to be some sort of shift on the internal of ourselves, in our souls. And then let that have an effect on what happens out here. One of the ways I like to think about it is, have you ever heard of that phrase, like, give something some wiggle room? It's like, if you give something some wiggle room, it'll wiggle a little bit and kind of give itself some more room, and then it's like got a lot more room. Maybe not. I gotta know who's heard that phrase. Okay, so this I like to look at it as like giving the Holy Spirit a little bit of wiggle room, where we just allow the Holy Spirit to move. Like, maybe we get a sense that God is saying, "All right, I want you to do this." We say, "Okay, I'm just gonna do that." And maybe it's like a little step, and then eventually, that's kind of how growth happens: is that we just are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I used to have this like idea back in the day that whenever I read through the fruit, like this part about the fruit of the Spirit, that it seems a lot like a checklist. Like, oh, you kind of look through it and like, well, I'm not doing really great with that. I'm not a very joyful person, so I'm going to work at being happy, daggone it, and I'm going to like it, And so we look at it as like, okay, these are the things that I need to do. But that's really not the best way to look at it. The way that we should look at this is say, okay, we should aspire to have these things, but I need to allow myself to be impacted by the Holy Spirit and then just move in the way that God kind of calls me to move in. So that's one way to think about it. If we see something here that we feel like we're not where we want to be, we should just be more attentive to the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we are, I like using this phrase, if we are like white knuckling our way towards holiness, meaning that like it is a, like we are struggling the entire way for us to be holy the way that God calls us to be holy, then we are trying way too hard. We have to just slow down, step back a little bit, and say, all right, God, what do I do right now? Just listen. And if we get a small inkling, we feel like it is the Holy Spirit leading us, and we just take that small little step and say, okay, I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. And then eventually we're taking bigger steps and then bigger strides. And we're hauling tail, and we don't even realize it at some point and to get there. This is what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. So I have some thoughts on how to kind of move forward with this. If you want to write these down, you can. I think they're good. You can do that if you want. If not, the idea of it is up here, but I'll have a little bit of more of a kind of description with it. Here's a question to ask. How does love as a commitment drive you when around others? So, you know, if you're around people and some sort of switch is kind of flicked, and, you know, you get anxious or you're angry, or maybe you start bragging, like somebody's telling a story, and then all of a sudden you start talking about how great you are about the things that you do that are similar. I'm guilty of this sometimes. Or maybe lust creeps in and you realize it, or there's envy or something like that. Just pause for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, would you just be more apparent right now? And then give the Holy Spirit just a little bit of wiggle room and then see what happens. Here's another question. How can your faith express itself in love? What would that mean for God? And what would that mean for other people? I'm not going to try and like dissect this completely right now. I'm just going to leave you with something to kind of take home with you. Here's another thing. True freedom in Christ. Do you feel it? Is something still holding you down? Remember, Paul starts chapter 5 off with, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not let yourselves be, I can't remember the exact wording, by a yoke of slavery. Be burdened, again, by a yoke of slavery. I got it. It's important. I should remember that, especially since I'm preaching on it. Okay, so he's saying that you are free to actually be free, not to feel like you're dragging something along behind you. We talked about that on week one. So try to be more attentive to the Holy Spirit. When you get a sense that you have a direction in to move in, just do that and see what happens. Being attentive to the Holy Spirit, I think at times it can feel like a difficult thing, but I think the more when we try it, and we just kind of move with that, the more that we do that, the easier that it does get. It's kind of like learning a new language. Maybe at first it seems a little strange, but the more you speak it, the more you understand. Eventually, you're so fluent in it, you don't even realize it. Like, you start thinking in that language. So as we go about this week, I think if we try and kind of walk through these things, maybe we'll have a little bit better understanding of what freedom in Christ is all about. Things, it might not come easy at first, but I think that we can experience that freedom just a little bit more. So that's kind of my hope and my prayer for all of us. So let's pray, and then we'll keep on going. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. I'm really thankful that we can have true freedom in you, and that freedom is it is motivated by love. I pray that as we consider how to be more attentive to you, Holy Spirit, that you would bless our efforts. And by efforts, I mean that we just stop and listen to what you might have to say, how you might want to counsel us and lead us. And then we just kind of move in that direction, that we are just really responding to you. We desire to see you bearing fruit in our lives, and we realize that means that something has to change inside of us. And so we do want to give our lives to you, Lord. And we just tell you that we love you. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.